Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
All right, Joe, we are back with another one and you're fresh, right? Fresh and new from a vacation. How you feeling, brother?
JR, I feel like, I feel like $1 billion because $1 million doesn't really go very far anymore, does it?
Not what it used to be.
Right. Not what it used to be.
Yeah, man. So the last time you had a little fun, but it was really Kiyosaki's word, savers or losers. What do you have coming up for us today?
Yeah, with all due respect, I don't want to beat anybody up. I don't want to beat you up. I don't want to beat myself up. And I especially don't want to beat up my friends who might be listening. And we're talking about concepts and principles, right? And how you think. I mean, it all revolves around how you think about things. And I guess I'm amused that after all these years in the business, I keep on going back to the fundamental component of any financial strategy or approach or product or design or however sophisticated you want to think about it. Savings is at the core, right? And there are many, many problems with savings. One of the problems is that people think that they're killing a bear because they're putting X amount. It doesn't matter what the amount is. Okay, I'm saving $500 a month. That's fantastic. You know, how much do I make? I make $5,000 a month. I save $500 a month. And, you know, I've got a great balance in there. Great. How much do you have in your savings? I've got $2,000. Okay. What? So, all right. So what you're telling me is you decided at some point recently it was a really good idea to start putting money into savings. Well, no, that's not really true. I've been saving $500 a month for years. Okay, I'm not a math genius. I'm somewhat of a financial coach, but I'm pretty sure that math doesn't figure for me. Well, here's what happens. You know, I had a root canal, so I had to dig into savings. And then my nephew graduated. It was a really special family event that I had to go down to North Carolina to visit with the family. And then, you know, I had the air conditioner in my car break down. And so I had to dig into that. And then my mom turned 60 and I wanted to give her a really big gift. And then we had kind of a, you know, I was messing around with my knife sharpener and wound up using my wrist as a knife sharpener and I go to the emergency room. So you get what I'm saying. What happened was, yeah, I'm saving diligently, but I've had unexpected things come up, right? A friend of mine, God bless him, lost a parent and there wasn't any money to bury him. So I threw in some money into that fund. And these are all worthwhile things. They're absolutely worthwhile. I mean, tell me where to send it. I'll send the check. Right? These are all worthwhile things. We should be helping each other to a certain extent. And when you think about the overall thing that we do, insurance and investments, insurance is just crowdfunding, isn't it? Right? Yeah. When you come right down to it, only it's more organized, more well thought out. But back to savings, I started this habit of savings all these years ago and all these unexpected things came up. So let me go back and reconnect here. There's nothing unexpected about life, right? We're all going to get a toothache. We're all going to eventually have something break down in our car. We're all going to eventually have a family member who has an event that we want to contribute to and attend, right? So these things are all going to happen. How about a getaway weekend? I have to go to the beach. That's me personally. I have to go to the beach, right? Periodically, as frequently as possible. Is I need a couple of grand to go and have a nice beach weekend. My wife and I consider a beach weekend Thursday through Tuesday. That's what we do. We kind of, you know, we want to treat it like it's really a weekend. It's 2 days to decompress, 2 days to enjoy, 2 days to ratchet back up to get back to work, right? So if you know that all these things are going to happen in life, like people die prematurely. Okay, name me a person on the planet who ever didn't die prematurely. Okay, if you're 99 years old and you died, it was premature. So let's think about these things. We can't take our entire paycheck and dump it into the emergency fund. But if you want to take a course at some point, well, you know, I wasn't thinking about it, but then I decided to take the course. It was an unexpected education opportunity. And then I really had a head butting with my boss at the company I work for. So I just had to go. So I needed a walkaway fund, right? All these things are to be expected, maybe not all the same weekend, right? But they're all going to happen eventually to me or somebody I know. And so here's something really radical. If they're all going to happen, I mean, we know that Christmas is going to happen next year, next December, unless they cancel it. It's probably not going to be canceled. My wife shops all year long for Christmas. So by Christmas, all our bills for Christmas have already been paid for because she knows it'll be better off if I kind of disperse that spending over 12 months. There's one example. So if you know you're going to have all these needs, these 10 different needs, this may sound silly, but your long-term savings account should not be the thing that you tap for that. You should have 9 other accounts. Is that radical? Sure, it's radical. Who would do that? Only somebody who wants to have something left over, right? Maybe you parcel those needs out on paper, on an Excel sheet or whatever, and maybe you open up 10 accounts. I don't know. There's different ways to do this. But the one thing I don't want to have happen is that after you've been saving for 5 years or 10 years, that you've got $2,000 in your savings account, even though you've almost perfected the art of savings, but you haven't perfected the art of controlled spending, right? So I think that in America, 90%, you know, statistics are wonderful, right? Because we make them up on the spot. So 90% of Americans don't have a plan. They're not saving enough. They're overspending. They have credit card debt. They can't put their hands on $1,000. More than 4 out of 10 Americans who have 401k plans have loans against their 401k plans. And even if they had no 401k, if they had no loan against their 401k plan, what's in there wouldn't be enough. If we keep on adding and adding and adding to it, it's not going to be enough to provide what we think we're going to need when we're 60 and 65 and 70 and whatever. So we're not saving enough. And when we do save, we're rifling through it for all these needs that are short term that kind of should be expected. So I'm kind of laying this out as a premise. So we're not taking savings seriously enough. The average savings rate in our country is 4%. 4%. Now, that's not net, right? It's 4% going in, but then we violate it. We rifle through it and we take it back out. So it's really not a savings account. It's a put and take account.
So what's the first step here, right? Because I get it, right? We're fooling ourselves into thinking we're saving because we're putting that money in there, but if it doesn't stay in there, then we're not actually saving anything, right? So this idea that kind of took hold of me, as you said, it is controlled spending. So is this relooking at the way that we use our money, or I heard you say the allocations to different accounts? How do we do that?
So the first thing we have to address is how we look at ourselves. So if I take out a loan from the bank, let's say I borrow money to buy a car, I'm absolutely going to make that payment on time every month, right? Because I know that my credit's going to get hit if I don't. And the next time I want to buy the next car, I'm not going to have as good a credit score, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really diligent in paying that bank, aren't I?
Yeah.
Now, what if I borrowed the money from myself by removing money from my savings account? And I say, well, for an example, I'm saving $500 a month. I need to take out $1,000 or $2,000 for a very good reason. And so I'll just stay with the program. I'll continue saving that $500 a month. Okay, the first thing that happened was you just robbed yourself because you didn't double up your savings. You got to continue saving the 500, but then you have to figure out a payment so that you could pay yourself back the money you just took out, the $2,000. Well, add $200 a month to savings because that's a payment. And what's happening is you're respecting that commercial banker down the street more so than you're respecting yourself. Well, why is that? So when I was first in the business back before they invented paper, somebody said, take a calendar, 30-day calendar, and mark out the first 3 days because the first 3 days of earnings belong to you. And they put at the top of the page, it said, most people don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan. Pay yourself first. Now, I violated that, for the first 10 years of my career. And I put myself in the same boat as everybody else. I don't do that anymore. I am not in the same boat as everybody else. In fact, nobody's in the same boat as everybody else, but they think they are. So they follow the crowd. They wind up following in a circle, and that's another conversation. But so my wife and I decided when we met, we committed to God. We committed our finances. We committed to each other. We committed to him. This is 1988. We've been together 36 years. And we said, we're going to pay him first, of course. That's what we believe. We're Christians. We give 10% of our gross. Underline the word gross. We can talk about that another time. It's what we do. But everything that's left on earth, I put myself, I put my family bank, if you'd like to call it. We put the Pantozzi Family Bank as our number one creditor that always gets paid first, no matter what happens. And I told my wife on day one, I said, listen, if you have to be late with the mortgage payment, if you have to be late with a car payment, if you have to have the lights turned off because the power goes off because we didn't pay the bill, you let that happen. You're not going to miss paying ourselves. I take this very, very seriously.
No kidding. And
we have put ourselves in the position where we've been able to buy things, invest in things, open up new business opportunities because we had the capital. Now, I'm going to use a fancy word, right? Capital is cash, is savings, is emergency fund, is long-term savings, is short-term savings, is retirement, is emergency fund, is ER, you know, is root canal, you name it. But now if you're doing this on a massive basis, I mean, if you're saving 10% of your gross and you're committed to it, first of all, that a war chest is gonna continue to build. And then when you need to take money out for any reason, that is a loan, my brother. It's a loan. And it's not a loan with a small interest rate either. We could talk about car loans some other time. But the very first time I used this method that I learned from Nelson Nash, the author of the Infinite Banking Concept, I started doing that in 2003, so about 20 years ago. I went to my wife and I said, honey, we're going to buy a car and we're going to pay ourselves. We're going to take a loan against the equity. We're going to collateralize our life insurance. We're kind of going off the deep end here, I know. But honey, I'm charging you 12%. And she said, are you nuts? I can go to the bank, she said, and get a 6 or a 7% loan. I said, yeah. But at the end of the day, who has all the money? The bank has all the money. And so, see, all this is growing out of the idea of savings and who's controlling the savings, who's controlling the banking function in my life. I'm controlling the banking function in my life. So that savings is the foundation for everything we do. And I not only did I get all the money back in my account for the car we bought, I got the tax deduction on the interest that I paid to the insurance company that lent me the money when I used my life insurance as collateral. I got a tax deduction. I got the salvage value of the vehicle. I got the growth on the account. I spent $42,000 when I wrote a check to the Lexus dealer, went to the Lexus dealer, brought in a check for $42,000. And 6 years later, because I had a 12% six-year note that I imposed upon myself, when you added up all those benefits we created, we had $70,000.
Nice. Man, people don't get the math, do they? Like, you're going to have to go back and listen to that three times.
Right, right. So this is all starting out with the idea that I'm going to save viciously. I'm going to be Attila the Hun when it comes to saving.
Aggressive. So, Joe, what do you have coming up for us next time?
So, aside from part two on savings, because we're just getting rolling here, I think we talked about the idea of retirement. And the best definition I could think of when you retire something is you take it out of service. So you're going to buy this, you know, 1968, if there was a 1968 Ford Mustang, I don't know. And you're going to keep it cherried out. The engine is in pristine condition. You know, the tires are perfect. The odometer has like 4 miles on it, right? And you're going to put it in your garage and put it up on blocks.
Retired.
Really? Is that what I'm going to do with myself? So I've taken all these years to hone my craft, and I'm not done because I'm learning more every day. Why? Honestly, because I want to serve people better. I want people to get it. I want families to be so invested in their future that they believe that financial literacy is vital to their own survival and that of their kids and their grandkids and their posterity and their charities and their causes. And so you're telling me that I'm going to practice for 40 years, and then when I get really good, when I kind of figure out that I know what I'm doing, I'm going to stop. So I can spend every day as Saturday, and I can start to work on my golf game and play golf 7 days a week. Okay, well, you know what? If you manage your life properly, you can probably play golf as often as you like. But I enjoy sharing with people, and I enjoy sharing what I'm learning, what I'm uncovering, and what I'm parsing out from looking at human nature more than anything else. So a financial planner is supposed to know something about managing money. Actually, what I do is I coach people and I help people look at their behaviors toward money and toward wealth and toward economics and toward financial literacy and toward the future and toward where their money is going. So what do you want your retirement to look like? Well, you know, I've been working really hard for 40 years. Did you like your job? No, I hated my job. Well, then you should retire. But tell your kids, don't start a job at some place. I'm not even going to mention an industry because it doesn't matter. Don't start a job someplace and just have in your mind that you're going to grab that brass ring like they do on the carousels, and you're going to press the button for retirement at 60 because you earned it. But in the meantime, you're going to hate your life. You're going to hate showing up at work. You're going to hate putting a tie on or putting a uniform on or putting a hard hat on, whatever it is. I'm going to hate it, but I'm going to have a pension. Okay, but you're not fulfilling. So if you enjoy your work, your vocation, your career, the value you bring to people, why would you ever want to stop?
Man, this guy is the king here. I'm like, should we just keep going? We'll have to do it on the next one, boys and girls, because that is a wrap for this episode.
Thanks.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.